Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. This is no other than Watchman on the Wall, End Time Global, End Time Global Link Ministry. And we are broadcasting around the world, letting the world know from wherever you are, wherever you're going, that the King is coming. He is on his way. I know it. I feel it. I see it. I hear it. I study it. He is on his way. Just a matter of time, because we are definitely, absolutely living in the last days. The last days, just before the return of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening, coming to you from Warren, Ohio. I'm breaking on down there in Atlanta, Georgia, coming out of Texas. Tim is on with me. He'll be on after a while. I had a little incident today. I had to go to the doctor, rush me to the doctor's emergency. I had a prostate problem, but the Lord is going to work it out for me that I can be here tonight, because I sure didn't want to miss it. I want to get this word out. I want to let the world know. Amen. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're going. I don't care nothing about your status quo. What I'm thinking about, what I'm acknowledging, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Why? Because you're going to need him now. You're going to need him tomorrow. And you're going to need him in the future. And if you have no idea who he is, I'm going to let you know who he is. He's the Son of God. He is God Almighty in the flesh. He was manifested in the flesh 2,000 years ago. God himself came all the way down from the portals of glory and came to a junkyard. The world was a junkyard, full of junk, full of lost souls, full of wickedness, full of killing and murdering and backbiting and all kinds of debauchery of sin. And the reason why it was like that, because Satan took over in the Garden of Eden. He took over. He came down from heaven. He tried to take over heaven. He tried to rule heaven. He tried to dethrone God. He tried to tell God what to do, how to do, and when to do. He had enough gall to go before the throne. Uh-huh. And when he got before the throne, he was trying to have a confrontation with God Almighty. Good God Almighty. You know, you got to be sick. You got to be mad because Satan was doing something, amen, that no other angelic being thought of. He came, created by God out of nothing. God brought him forth. When God brought him forth, he said, let it be. And there it was. Lucifer, the son of the morning, the light barrier, the deceiver, the enlightened one, the one that tried to rule the world and the universe. He wanted to rule above God. And when he tried it, that was the first rebellion ever named in eternity. The first rebellion ever named in eternity. What he done? He wanted to what? Be like God. Be like God. The Bible tells you that Lucifer, the anointed cherubim, and I've been over this before, but I'm going to read out of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the 14th chapter, it gives you the originate of Lucifer by God himself, created him, spoke him into existence. And when he came into existence, he became proud. He became self-righteous. He became independent of God, trying to rule over God because of one thing, his beauty. One of the most beautiful cherubim that ever was created was Lucifer. And in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, the 14th chapter of Isaiah, reads these words. 14 and 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation?" This one verse right here tells you that thou, Lucifer, have fallen from where? Heaven. So he was in heaven. He was the main angel over the other angelic beings, and he was the protector of God's throne, and he was the choir director. He was a music man. He knew all the notes of the keyboard. He was a music box. He had all kinds of pipes, all kinds of music instruments built inside of him. And every time he would walk, or even direct the choir, music would come from him. He was, oh man, you talking about a musician. You talking about a musician. Lucifer could play anything that you wanted to play, but when he was in heaven, he had to praise God. He had to honor God. He had to respect God. He had to realize that he was a created being and God was a self-existent being. He never was created. He never was made. He never was born. He always existed. He will never go out of existence. He is self-independent, and he don't need nobody. And Satan says, "I need the one that created me. I need for him to tell me what to do." And God told him what to do. God told him to direct the choir. "When I leave my throne, I want you to stand in front of my throne, protect my throne. I want you to be over the angels. I want you to direct them how to use the music keyboard and how to use the trumpet and the harp and the saxophone. I want you to be able to direct them and give them the opportunity to praise me." That's what God wanted. He wanted the angels to praise him. God wants praise. God will get praise. God is worthy of praise. God will be exactly what he is throughout eternity. Ain't no changing. Ain't no mistake. He is who he say he is. And what happened is Lucifer said, "I will." Let's see what he said. 13th verse, he said, "For thou hast said in thine heart," the very intent of his heart. This is what he said in his heart. And God knew what he was saying in his heart. He said, "I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." I'm going above God. I'm going to rule God. I'm going to tell God what to do. I'm going to rule the planets. I'm going to rule the angels. I'm going to rule God. I'm going to tell him what to do and how to do it, when to do it. That's what Satan had in his mind, in his heart. That was his desire, to rule over God first and then to rule his creation.
And amen.
He said this, "I will, I will." He always got this, "I will. I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like," now get this now, he wants to be like the Most High. Now you know that's a lot of gold. And you know what got him in trouble? I'm going to tell you what got him in trouble. This is what got Satan in trouble. And this is what getting people in trouble today. It is beauty. Beauty.
Amen.
Called the figure. This is what he was thinking. He was thinking he was so beautiful. And by his beauty, he figured in his heart and in his mind that beauty has more power than sincerity. Beauty has more power than love. Beauty has more power than forgiveness. And he said, I will be like the Most High. Why? Because I am so gorgeous. Oh, man, I'm immaculate. Look at me. Look at my wings. Look at my instruments that is built inside of me. I know every keyboard. I know every note. I can praise to the highest. I can break glass. I can bend steel with the notes that I can pull up. Woo! He was a tough dude. And beauty got him in trouble. And when he figured that he could take over God, what he done, he went through the corridors of heaven. Now, this is where all the wars started. This is where all of the animosity and hate started. Right there in heaven, before God Almighty. And Lucifer said, I'm gonna get this dude. I'm going to get this dude, and I'm going to go through the corridors of heaven and speak to every angel. Every angel, I'm going to put a bug in his ear, and I'm going to make a deal with him. I'm going to make a deal that they can't resist. And the deal was, look, my friend, look, my angelic beings, since I have the jurisdiction over the music world and the protecting God's throne, and I'm beautiful. I'm more beautiful than all the billions of angels that was in heaven, billions of angels. And he was the most beautiful out of all the billions of angels. And he went around in heaven spreading rumors. Hey, look, dude, I'm going to take over the throne of God. And by me taking over the throne of God, I need somebody to go with me. And if they go with me, I'll give them a position. I'll give them some power, amen, to help me dethrone Yahweh. Because if you dethrone Yahweh, just remember, I got the whole universe, man. Come on, man. You can't miss that deal. And he took one third of the angelic beings and convinced them that if they would follow him, he would give them power, not as much as he had, but I will give you power to rule. I'll give you power to do what you want to do. I'll give you power to do things that Yahweh wouldn't even think about because he's holy. So what happened? God saw all this in his presence. And when Lucifer came before the throne of God with a whole host of angels, he said, Yahweh, you got to come on down here. I'm taking over. I'm going to do a coup in heaven. And God looked at him, right, with surprise, because he knew the thoughts of him. He knew everything. And he let him follow through with his plan. And Lucifer took one third of the angels of heaven, and God kicked them out. O-U-T. He kicked them out from the portals of glory all the way down to earth. And that's a long way compared to my time zone. That's a long way from heaven to earth. No man can reach from heaven. No man can reach from heaven to earth on his own. But God Amen. Is everywhere. If this God is everywhere, he can't go nowhere where he's not already been. So, my God, my God. And so Lucifer said, all right, come on, boys. We're going to do a trick on him. We're going to tear heaven up. And by the time he thought he could tear heaven up, God kicked him out with divine providence. He spoke the word, and they flew out of heaven. They were, they had to get out of there so quick, man. They didn't have time enough to get a cup of coffee. They had no time to talk no yeah. They didn't have no time to talk no yang. Lucifer said, let's go. We're going to earth, and we're going to take over earth. And then when God made heaven and earth, amen. Oh, Lucifer said, oh, man, yeah, now I'm going to do this trick. God created Adam and Eve. When he created Adam and Eve, he made them after his likeness. Looked like God, talked like God. Amen. Had the spirit of God. Amen. Had the love, had the mercy. And Satan said, oh, shoot. He gave man the earth. He gave man the earth. Oh, shoot. Now what I'm going to do? I can't do nothing until what? Till God could give him permission. Put Adam and Eve in the garden and told them face to face, I'm going to give you this garden, Adam, your wife with you. I'm not going to give you Steve. I'm not going to give you Joe Brown. I'm going to give you Eve. And that's forever. When I married I married y'all. I married you male and female. And God is still the same. He ain't changed one bit. And in our modern society, the 21st century, God is still saying male and female. Don't y'all come up before my throne and talk about male and male and female and female and cross all this. I don't want to hear it.
Amen.
I'm a God of holiness. I'm a God of perfection. I'm a God of righteousness. And I ain't going to change for nobody to get their pleasures out of what they want to do. And so right now, we're living in an age now where people say, where the heck with God? I ain't thinking about no God. He ain't telling me what to do. What do you think the creation got their rebellion? They got it from Lucifer. Because Lucifer became, from righteousness, he became unrighteous. He became a debauchery of the angelic host. Of one third of the heavens took flight. And now he's out to do three things. Because he can't do nothing but three things. He can't do nothing but kill, rob, and destroy. And he brought it to earth because he figured that if he can get Adam and Eve to sin, he could take over the planet. He ain't taken over the planet, but he took over the human race. The human race failed. And, oh, you talking about a great fall? You want to know how far? You want to know how he failed and what the death of the fail? Look at our planet today. Look at our human race. Look at our families. Look at our young people. Look at our government. Look at it. And you can see the corruption and the debauchery of how people are living and don't care nothing about the righteousness of God. Don't care nothing about what Christ did 2,000 years ago. Where did this entity come from? It comes from Lucifer. The devil don't care nothing about God. He hates God. He resists God. He's jealous of God. He still wants to take over the earth, but he's not going to get it. He's not going to get it because Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word abideth forever. Let me tell you, all this satanic stuff that's going around is going to pass away. All the adultery, all the lying, all the backbiting, all the church-going hypocrite people who going to church, don't know nothing about Jesus Christ, all going to pass away. But the word of God is the only thing going to last. And if the word of God abideth in you through Jesus Christ, you will abide forever with the Lord Savior Jesus Christ through his righteous blood. And the devil don't like it. Woo! He don't like it. He don't like nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He didn't like him so, he hated him so bad, he said, I'm gonna take the human race and cause, when he come down here, I'm going to cause the human race to turn on him. I'm going to cause the human race to slaughter him and hang him on the tree and call him everything but the Son of God. I'm going to cause him to die. And if I can kill him and get rid of him, I can do my thing. But see, he was such a fool, he didn't know the mind of God. He don't know the mind of God. And God said, all right, you go ahead and do what you got to do. Go ahead. But I'm going to send a Savior. And this Savior can save you to the utmost. When Christ came to this earth, the devil said, uh-oh, I done made a mistake. He said he was going to send an emancipator. He said he was going to send a deliverer way back there in the book of Genesis, third chapter, the fifth verse. Seed between the woman and the seed between Satan and the seed between the woman, seed, and it shall bruise thy, what? Gonna bruise thy head, and you shall bruise his heel. You know what Jesus, you know what God was telling Satan? He said, I am going to be crucified. I am going to die for the sin of the world. And Satan said, well, I'm going to make sure you die because I don't believe, good God Almighty, I don't believe you can get up from the grave on your own because all the men that died before Christ never got back up out the grave on their own. All the people that died after Christ never come from the grave on their own power. It was only Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that died and laid down his life for the sins of the world and came up from the grave with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand, and he lives today. He lives tomorrow. And this is going to bring in the end time. This is the end time ministry. And now we're living in the end time because Satan is getting ready. Let me tell you what he's getting ready to do. He's getting ready to bring the Antichrist on the scene. That's going to be his Christ. That's going to be his false Messiah. Jesus Christ already done came. Jesus Christ already done went. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. And when he come back, he's going to meet the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon. Good God Almighty. Hey, look at this battle that's going to occur. It's going to occur in the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation says, and they're going to meet at a valley called Megiddo. And the Antichrist is going to be the head of all the armies of the world. And the kings of the east are going to come from the east. The kings of the south are going to come from the south. The kings of the north is coming from the north. The kings of the west is coming from the west. And they are in the influx with Lucifer because Lucifer said, I got a great army. And I'm going to meet the Messiah at the Battle of Armageddon at Megiddo. And this is what the world getting ready for. This is why war, you hear wars and wars and rumors of war. I think Brother Tim talked about that last week, wars and rumors of war racing across the society of our new generation. Because this people today think this is the best generation I ever had. And although we got trouble, they think this is the flourishing generation. But just let me tell you something. This is the most corrupt generation of all time. All through human history, there's never been a generation like this one. You know why?
Amen.
Because of technology, state of the art, men have inventing all kinds of wicked devices. And now we are at the peak where man can drop 4 or 5 bombs and annihilate millions of people. Men are killing one another. Men are in the street raping the women. Men are in the street taking little young girls, picking them out, using them for a pin cushion. Men who are hoarding up all the money, trying to eliminate all the poor people and try to eliminate and start a new world in which all the rich people will survive. But let me tell you something. You're on the wrong boat. Because the Bible says the Lord God Almighty has chosen the poor people of the world to be rich in faith and in love and in mercy. So being rich ain't nothing. I'd rather be rich in Jesus Christ than anything in the world. Because let me tell you, he's got a treasure that will never run out. You don't have to worry about a bank fraud. You don't have to worry about people interjecting into your business. Why? Because God got a bank beyond all banks. It can fit you in spiritual use. It can fit you in financial use. It can fit you in material use. But let me tell you, the world thinks they got something. But the Bible says, what profit a man to gain the whole round world and lose his soul? Satan now is on a rage. And since we are living in the last days, brother, just before what? The rapture of the church, just before the 7 weeks spoken by Daniel the prophet, is being set up right now. Right now. TV is full of corruption. Ain't nothing. Hey, you might find a good program, maybe a good prophecy program that's really in the Word. For the ministers and preachers, they ain't preaching nothing really that can hold with the Word of God. They're preaching all around the circle. The birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're not preaching that. We can see it. We can feel it. They're preaching materialistic thing and motivation. Motivation speeches. I love the motivation speech. It motivates me. Right. Motivates you to go straight to hell. Because number one, without Jesus Christ dying on the cross, coming back from the grave, you can have all the motivation you want. You cannot enter the kingdom of God until you repent. I'm going to say our sorry self. I ain't going to leave myself out. Woo! We were some sorry people.
Right.
We were so sorry, we didn't know I left the infomercial right here. Amen. I got a thought the other day. I said, I love Jesus because he's a good junk man. What you talking about? You calling Jesus a junk man? Well, who did he come and die for? He come and die for us. What were we? A bunch of junk.
Amen. That's right.
We weren't worth nothing. We had a form of God, but no power. We confessing, but we don't live the life. We say that he's Jesus Christ, but we don't say that I need to repent and turn from my wicked ways. What you think Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm undone. I dwell among unclean people, and I got unclean lips. He said, I can't go out there. I can't preach the gospel until the Lord fixes me up. And until you are fixed up with the true salvation that the Bible teaches, you are a piece of junk because you're ready and you're fit for hell. Because you have to be, you need to be, you should be born again, born of the Spirit and of the water. If Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, man, you got to be born again, Nick. Hey, Nick, you got to be born again. Nick said, oh, I'm old. I can't go into my mother's womb the second time and be born again. Jesus said, no. Verily, verily, I say to you, unless you be born of the Spirit and of the water, you cannot what? See. I don't think people get that. See. You can't even see the kingdom of God. How can you, in the world, you can tell yourself, I'm going to try to work my way to heaven. I'm going to try to do the best I can. I'm going to try to do what God tell me to do. Well, God done told you what to do, and you won't do it. He need to repent. You need to turn from your wickedness. You need to turn from your lying and your talking about people. And you need to be filled with the love of God. Because let me tell you, the only thing going to exist in heaven forever is the love of God. And people talk about they love God and hate their brother with a passion. Church folk, I ain't talking about the world. The world love its own. The world don't take care of its own. But church folks, preachers, deacons, choir members, secretaries, all these folks confess that they know Jesus Christ and living like the devil on broad daylight, 24/7. Ain't got no kind of prayer life. Ain't got no kind of a life where they can be a benefit to somebody that needs to know Jesus Christ. They can't witness to nobody because the stuff that they doing, they guilty as the world. But in order to witness to somebody else, you got to be a new creature. You got to know Jesus Christ in order to win folks to Christ. Because when people see you the way you act, I don't want that. I don't want that. And the reason you don't want it, because you know it ain't right. And Satan, as I get ready to turn it over to Brother Tim, I forgot to offer prayer this evening, but maybe he can give a little short prayer and go on with what he have to say. But I just want to say a few more things, and then I'm going to give it over to him. I thank you for being with me today. Like I told you before, I had to run to the hospital and check my prostate out. And I told him if I didn't get back, if I didn't feel good, that he could go ahead and take an hour of it. But he's back, and I'm glad he's back. So glad to hear his voice. It says here, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be, wait a minute, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit. That's where Satan is going, to hell. He's on his way. He's making a beeline to hell. And he wants to take what? Everybody with him. He wants to take the rich, the poor, the black, the white, the yellow, the green, the ugly, the pretty. He wants to take them to hell with him. Because he knows there's no redemption for fallen angels. There's no redemption for demons. There's no redemption for wicked spirits that's flying above our heads in this modern society all over the face of the earth. And they're doing mischief. They're killing and robbing and wars and earthquakes. All this. Satan said, I got to get all I can. And guess what? He's doing it. You know why he's doing it? Because the people have rejected the love of God. They have rejected the cross. They have rejected his word. They have rejected his love. They have rejected his justice. They have rejected everything God laid down. And let me tell you something. God can't do nothing else. He can't do nothing else to save anybody but by his son, Jesus Christ. And the world is saying, I don't like Christ. I like this here Islam. I like this Muslim. I like this here Baptist. I like this. I like that religion. I like this religion. Well, you can like it all you want because Christianity is not a religion. It is a divine, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you meet Jesus Christ, you meet God Almighty simultaneously right there on the spot. And when you receive Christ, I'm going to tell you something. I know by experience, you receive the love of God in your heart. I know that. If I don't know nothing else, I know you receive the love of God in your heart. Don't come telling me you love God. I told you once before. Don't come talking, I love God, and I'm going to serve him, and you cussing out in your next door neighbor. You're a lying wonder, because God is love, and those that know God love their brethren. My friend, my brethren, Brother Tim, walk with me, man.
Amen, Doctor. All glory be to the Most High. Amen, brother. I'm glad to hear that you're doing good and well. I was concerned about you. Amen. So all glory be to the Most High God. Amen. We thank him for his grace and his mercy. Amen. We know that he's able to heal. He's able to make us whole. That's what we're praying and believing for. Amen, brother. Amen. So I was concerned about you, doctor. So amen. So
amen. Appreciate
everything
it.
Is going good. Yes, sir. Amen. It's good to see that. Amen, that you got on the show on time and you're here doing what he has you doing. Amen. Amen. What he has called you.
Don't want to get this, brother.
It is, that's it, doctor. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing. So, amen. So we speak life. Amen. Because the Bible says what? The power of life and death is what? In the tongue. Amen.
In the tongue.
So we speak life. That's right, doctor. Amen. So we speak life on this side. Amen. Amen. Getting into the word. Teaching on eschatology, the study of end things, the things that are going on in the world today. Amen. The economic collapse that they foresee that is coming. Amen.
Yes.
The shelves are hardly stocked up. I know in certain places you can't go and get certain items, especially those items that are of importance that you usually buy. Amen. They're saying that a lot of ships are not able to unload. Amen, because they don't have anyone that works. And people are steady quitting their jobs. They're steady walking out. Amen. I have not figured out, amen, the key to this, how they're able to pay their bills if they're quitting their jobs. Amen. But, amen, I guess if you have the faith and you have a little money saved up, you can do that. Amen. But as we've been saying for the past year, amen, is that that is not going to change. Because we said last year, since last year, it's not going to get better. Everybody keeps talking about it's going back to normal. It's just not. You can forget about it. This year is not going away. And I was thinking about that today because, you know, you see things, you read the news, and I think one of the things that I thought about is the fact that how the people who are in charge, when I say the people who are in charge, the people who run this world under the rule of Lucifer, Satan, they cannot turn back. Amen. They have to mash the gas. It's kind of like one of those things to where once you invest it, that's it. You're fully invested. They got to go all the way with it. There's no turning back. And the way Lucifer has pride, the way the people who run the world has pride, it's like they don't like to be told no. They don't like the masses to tell them no. People are telling them they're not taking the jab. They don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear famous people tell them because famous people have always, because they feel like, hey, we pay you, we take care of you. Your job is just to follow, amen, do what we tell you to.
Amen.
And so we see the world is pushing back. There's rebellion.
Yep.
There are people actually losing their lives because of the rebellion. People are walking around the job. This is what you see. And you know, we talked about the wars and the rumors of wars last year. I mean, I'm sorry, not last year, last week. You think about the economic collapse. Amen. This is economic collapse. Because if there's nobody to work these jobs, there's going to be a collapse. Amen. I share with you also how, you know, in working at the bank, we're over 100 people short, and probably more than that, because, you know, they never really tell you exactly the what it really is. They'll give you a roundabout figure. I'm more than willing to bet it's a lot deeper than that, especially when they're offering us bonus and the person that get hired a sign-on bonus. So a lot of jobs are offering bonuses now. You know, some jobs are offering up to $1,000, you know. And so that lets you know how desperate of a time that we are in as we talk about the economic collapse. Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We talk about the famine. Amen. We talk about the famine.
Amen.
And so it makes me wonder, because now they're talking about the food shortages and how we need to prepare for this winter. Hoping that we don't have another brutal winter. I'm in Texas, and I know we had, for a fact, we had a brutal winter. The ice was collapsing through the ceiling, stuff we've never seen before. You know, electricity outages for over the weekend, a week, people couldn't have electricity. That's a very challenging situation. I believe there was an incident where a lady had passed away, someone had passed away because they didn't have heat in their house. You know, I can't remember if it was a man or a woman, but once that now it comes to mind, I think it was a man. You know, they found him in his house. But again, these are just the beginning of the things, the sorrows. And it's not going to get better. And I heard someone say the exact same thing that we've been saying, that they've never seen anything like this to where, I said it last week, we've never seen where there's multiple things that have happened. We usually see an event like some type of tragedy is isolated, but we're seeing continuous tragedies all over the planet. And this has not ever happened before. People say they can't ever recall a time like this. And what's going on? We see the systems are failing. We had system failure all now for the past week and a half on my job. If one system is up, another system is down. You know, we ask him, what's going on? Every day we go to work now, we're having system failures. And so we see more degeneration. We see more and more cop beatings, cop shootings. People hate more and more hate crime, not only just against black people, but people of different races. More hate crime. People are shooting people, killing people, harming people. You know, this is getting out of hand. This
out
is
of
getting
hand.
Out of hand. And so the only thing that we could do as the church
Amen.
Is to continue to pray. Amen. We're going to continue to pray.
Peace
we're
going
to continue to believe. And we're going to continue to uplift the brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're going to pray for the lost. That's what we're going to do.
Yes,
we're going to continue to pray for one another. And I'm asking that if you can, fast as much as you can. Understanding
amen,
fasting. Amen, doctor. Amen. So according to what you can do, if you can do 2 or 3 hours and pray, we appreciate it. If you can fast a day and pray, we appreciate it. Whatever you could do to uplift the kingdom, amen, because the king is coming. And there's no need in us worried about anything. We have no worry. We will be out of here. Amen.
Out of here, brother.
Amen.
Here.
We will be out of here. We don't have to worry about this thing, this stuff that's happening in this world. We talk about the super church. We see the super churches forming. A lot of the churches and religions have been talking for the past couple of years how they're coming together.
Amen. Uh-huh.
And forming an alliance.
Alliance.
And I've been hearing this for years, and the world is already groomed for it. A lot of these pastors in these churches, they are already groomed for it. Yes, sir. They're all for it, doctor. I'll never forget I talked to this lady that was a Muslim. And she said that she has a pastor that's a Baptist pastor. He said that he's okay with her religion and what she's doing is fine. I'm like, what in the world? Who's he teaching? Who's he really teaching this to? Yeah. You know, where is that in the Bible? God said, I'm a jealous God. I have no other God before me.
Before
And so there is no, amen. See, if all these different religions was one, why aren't we all serving the same God? Why does it have to be called something different? And it's not according to the language. This is what you know. This is totally different religions.
Mm-hmm.
So we took the super church. They're all coming together, and the Pope is behind it. So hopefully we'll kind of get to talk about some of these things today. The world governments, you know, everybody is, you know, under this mandate, and so you can see the one world government coming together because of this pandemic. This pandemic, as I told you before, was planned. Okay, and I heard somebody actually called it a plandemic because it was planned. This is to plan their overall new world order agenda, which will start as soon as the church is out of here, and will end in seven years because the people who don't believe in Christ, they're blinded. They believe that this is going to go on. They think life is just going to go on as normal. They're going to live normal lives, but they don't know that it's going to be cut short in 7 years. As the brother said that, the brother said some harsh truths. They're organ harvesting like crazy. They're coming up with so many different ways to do evil. The brother said that this is the most evil, wickedest time in the history of man. And I understand why he says that, because of the internet, because of the connection of the world, people are able to commit crimes in other countries, whereas before, you could only be wicked in one place. People actually travel across the country to murder people. People are traveling across the planet, across the other countries, murdering people. This is the most wicked time in the history of mankind. People
you
are able to steal money. Amen. They're able to steal money, and they're in another country. We talk about this age of evil. The brother talks about basically how men are taking advantage of young kids. We see sex trafficking, organ harvesting. There's a new way that they're doing that they're targeting women now. Women, be careful when you're at the hotels now. The people that's on staff now, they believe are working for people who do organ harvesting. One report that people are giving people the room, the key to people's rooms. How is that? This lady said that these men showed up in her room, and the guy downstairs gave them the key. And they knew the woman's name. She said she didn't know who the men were, never seen them before in her life. And so all we're saying is be careful of your surroundings, of the things that are going on in the world. The world is waxing more evil and evil, more wicked. People don't care. People are doing anything for a dollar. They're kidnapping kids. They're organ harvesting kids. They're sex trafficking kids, all for a dollar, because people are so lazy to go to work. If you need some extra money, go get your second job. Go back to school and get your higher education. You know, but people are so low down and so dirty and so lazy these days that they don't want to work, that they rather set up and commit a crime, rather take and harm and hurt and kill somebody else just to make a dollar.
Come on now.
It's getting sad out here. And I'm telling y'all, it's not going to get better. The days that we have seen and have enjoyed, those days are gone. Amen. So you might as well get ready, because the king is coming. Amen.
Coming.
He's coming. There is no way to escape it if you say, I don't want nothing to do with Christ. Well, you know what? You'll just have to pay the ultimate sacrifice. You'll pay the ultimate penalty. Hopefully you won't. Hopefully you'll be smart enough to repent and to receive salvation before it is too late. Because we're talking about more degeneration in our country. We talk about, and I'm going to go back and read those scriptures that I didn't get a chance to go over last week. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's talk about what the Apostle Paul said. Let's get into a little scripture. Then I'm going to bounce back. Amen. See if I can find my Bible. There it is. Get my Bible. Got so much going on here. Amen. All glory be to the Most High God. Let's take a look here at 2 Timothy. There we go. Amen. Second Timothy, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2 last week. So we're going to focus on just 3 and 4 right now. Amen. I may get to some more, but we're going to focus on just 3 and 4 right now. So 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 3. The Bible, the scriptures reads, it says, without natural affection. This is talking about the perilous time shall come.
Yeah.
In the last days. We are in perilous times. Amen. Women have to be very careful where they run, where they jog, where they go, even in department store. The brother talking about women being raped in daylight. You know, the bravery of evil now, and these demons are causing people to do something that's just unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And hardly speakable at this day and time that a man would do something like that in a store. That goes to show you that people don't care. We're talking about moral degeneration. And this is without natural affection. Men are killing women. I heard a report of, I think, a woman, and I'm not laughing at it because it's probably just laughed at and the fact that it's unbelievable. The woman shot a man because he wouldn't kiss her. What type of world are we living in? People are so sensitive now. People can't take things anymore. And that's what I've been noticing, that people are just so sensitive. You say something to people, they're just so hurt over things. I told you about a month ago, my wife had a family member that had a tragic situation where the young man lost his life because he got to an altercation to a guy that was older than he was. The guy lost the altercation. He came back like a few days later and shot him, saw him walking, shot him and killed him. This is a sad time that we live in, and we have to, as a brother said, probably the most wicked time on the face of the planet because you have billions of people on the planet, and it's just so much. No one is studying God, and the people who are in church are not even studying God because if I go to church, people on their cell phones, amen, doctor, people are drawing in church, people are making faces and talking. I mean, because when I go to church, I usually sit on the front pew or in the pulpit, and I'm looking back at, you know, people talking, people gawking at one another with hate. Yeah, I'm like, what is going on? This is the church. This is supposed to be one place of love, the place that people can go to, can come to and enjoy and worship God. Yet instead of people focusing on the service, people are focusing on so many other different things that they could be doing outside of the church when they get home, or you know, they can sell the differences somewhere else. But instead of doing so, they choose to bring the mess, and let's just call it what it is, the foolishness in the church. Now, verse 3 says, without natural affection. It is natural to care for people. It is natural to see, hey, if someone needs something, I got money. Here, brother, here's $5, here's $3. That's natural affection. It's natural affection to help people that's in need. That's natural affection. But people now, they don't have the natural affection. They don't have the care that God has naturally given them. And when we say natural, we're talking about the flesh. We're talking about the physical. You know, being able to look at somebody and say, you know what, and to have empathy and sympathy for people.
Yeah.
People don't care anymore. People just do not care. People are making light of people's financial situations. If someone loses a loved one, people do not care anymore. People only care about self. And I think one of the most craziest things is that when people take these pictures that they used to, I don't know what they call them now, they may still call them the same thing. They call them selfies. Well, that reminds me of being selfish. Because all people want to do now is just take pictures of themselves. And that's all, it's all about them.
Yeah.
It's all about
yeah.
the selfie. Let me be selfish. Let me just snap these pictures and let me just so vain and everything. People don't really understand, but that's really what that is. That's vanity. The Bible speaks out against vanity. You're just being vain. You're so into self. And this is what's wrong with the world. The scripture says truth breakers. Well, we see that now. When people storm the Capitol in America, that just goes to show you how people care about themselves and what they want. If you don't give them what they want, we're going to break the law. We're going to do what we feel is right. Truth breakers. People just out here just doing any and everything. False
yeah.
accusers. You got so many people who are in law enforcement are just lying on people, taking people lives,
yeah.
just telling lies. People are, even people that are out here just taking people lives, just lying just to take a person's life. This is a life that no one can bring back but God. And to end someone's
Nobody.
Life, to take someone away from their loved ones, their family, people just don't care. You know, you have the false accusers out there just falsely accusing people. People don't care, okay? Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. We definitely see that. The world is so against us, the people who tell the truth. Even the people who attend church are against those that are good or those who choose to speak the word. I mean, they give us a hard time about speaking the truth. I remember one of my pastors and mentor because he lived in the house that was sponsored by the church. They paid him a salary. And after church, because he spoke the truth, he would have deacons and trustees to approach him after the church, or they want to have a meeting with him about something he spoke about. But, you know, if he's preaching about fornication and adultery, hey, that's what he's supposed to do. And because they were convicted of certain people in the church, they didn't like him speaking and having certain messages and preaching certain things in the church. He spoke out against gays and lesbians. You know, he would have a meeting with the deacon. They would come to his office at the end of the service and told him, you know, about changing his message. And this is sad that we have to deal with these types of things, scrutinies in the church, in the house of God. But these things have been going on for years. Again, if you're not motivational speaking, if you're not speaking a light message or speaking a favorable message or talking about money or something that's not of the scripture too much, you know, Pastor, you need to kind of change. That's a little harsh on people. The people don't really want to hear messages like that. And this was almost 20 years ago. So what really are we talking about? Amen, Doctor. Amen. I'm about to turn it back over to you. But what really are we talking about, amen, when we are in the house of God? I remember there was a time to where, you know, pastors didn't really too much get confronted. Some of them probably did. But it's even worse now because nobody really wants to hear, amen, the true knowledge. Amen. They don't want to hear that. It's sad because the world has waxed worse and worse,
worse.
And you can just see how and not just the women's fault, but mainly the father of these kids who have walked away from the household or just abandoned parentship. Just because it didn't work out between you and the mother, it's still your responsibility to raise that child, whether it be a boy or a girl. It's still your responsibility to be a part of their lives. But you got so many single mothers trying to raise these kids, and a lot of times they don't even know how to raise the kids.
No,
and these kids
no.
grow up to be who they are. And this is what we're dealing with in our society. And it's destroying the communities. And a lot of people ask about what can we do to fix these things. Let me tell you right now, family. The best thing to do is focus on your salvation and those close to you and reach out as many people as you can, because none of this is going to be fixed until Christ returns after that seven-year period of the Great Tribulation. Amen. That's the only time that it's going to be fixed. Amen. We talk about the rich versus the poor. Amen. We're seeing that right now. And this is what you're having. This is what's really going on when you have a lot of people leaving these jobs. Because a lot of the people who are implementing, now some of the rich are not for what's going on. But if you know that, like the brother said, Bill Gates is behind this jab. A lot of those so-called, quote-unquote, these are so-called. They think they are elite. They're not elite at all, especially not in the sight of my father or my sight. This is the rich versus the poor. And so many people, this lady kind of revealed something to me today at the bank. She was saying how people was telling her something about, let me see if I can find it, then I'm going to turn it back over to the brother, and then I'll be out of your way for the night. Amen. Amen. Let me see if I can find that message. I had it pulled up. Let me see. It's something called Nesara. It's spelled N-E-S-A-R-A. So it's something about National Economic Security and Recovery Act. So she was telling me something about that. And she said that people were telling her about it. She didn't know anything about it. She was saying something about people was telling her, you know, and like I say, only certain people know about this stuff, and they're sharing it with certain people. But she shared it with me. I sure appreciate her sharing it with me. So I'm just sharing it with you all. But definitely do your research on it, because she was saying something about someone was telling something about days of darkness, about how, like, I guess we're going to be without electricity and there's going to be food scarcity.
Yeah.
You can't be able to get food. And she was like, what? She said she had never heard that. She was just in shock that people were sharing this with her. And so I'm just sharing it with you that be prepared. There's a reason that the government, someone has saw fit to give you a stimulus, and people are wasting it. People are buying clothes, jewelry. People are shopping shoes. I'm like, are you serious? That stuff is for you to buy food for your family. Apparently someone saw fit. Amen. Because that's how things are. You know, things have to have balance because, again, the Holy Spirit is in control. And so what Satan is planning, you know, a lot of times you can't see it unless you're looking in the spirit. Because God is still in control.
Right.
God said, okay,
right,
if you're going to do that, Lucifer, amen, you got to do this. Saying that if you're going to starve the people for some time, especially the poor, then you got to give them something to help them out. Now, if you can't see that, that's on you. But they're giving you $500 a month, $1,000 a month, $250 a month, whatever it is that you get for your kids to stock up. You should be stocking up on groceries, not blowing it. And people are just partying, going out like it's nothing, and they don't see the storm that's coming. Amen. So you should be using that money to prepare to get food, especially dry food, potatoes, I guess peanuts, rice, potatoes, just anything that's going to last for some days, and just in case the electricity does go out, because we don't never know what's going on. She told me something about it's something called the quantum. What is it called? Quantum financial. Let me systems. That's what it's called. Quantum financial system. I'm just sharing this information with this lady. Shared it with me. I was in shock. I thought, I sure appreciate you sharing that information with me. But it's something about the financial institutions, something that they're going to do. And this lady, this is so funny because in 2019, but I think you're turning back up to, in 2019, I remember this lady had called the bank, and she said the government had passed the act like a year or two prior to 2019. She said, are you aware that the government has a bill that says that the banks can shut down and take your money, and there's nothing you can do about it? I said, ma'am, so I don't think the banks would do that. And that's the same thing the lady I talked to today was saying. I said, ma'am, I don't think that that's going to happen. She said, because she said, is my money safe in the bank? I said, ma'am, I believe it is. I don't think the bank or the government can get away with that. But this is the same thing she was telling me today, that this is what this is about. It's called quantum financial systems. It's something that the global, this is the world's largest bank.
Yeah.
It says the upside opportunity is massive. The 28 largest banks worldwide manage more than USD, $54 trillion combined. The U.S. stock and bond markets alone are capitalized at more than $70 trillion. Okay.
Woo.
So the thing is that we have to be aware of the game that they're playing. So as you can see here, that they're coming together on all levels. Banking.
Yes, sir.
Religion.
Yes, sir.
This is the stuff in Revelation that we've been preaching and teaching about for almost 2 years now. It's to wake you up to what's going on with the whole world globally, the systems of the Babylonian religion and the Babylon commerce is what this is. I just showed you that is coming together right before our eyes.
Yes,
and while you're
brother.
Watering, amen, while they got this pandemic going on and you're so focused on getting back to your life, they are setting up this stuff right behind. When they flip the switch, this is why all this system stuff is failing. This is why there could possibly be a blackout coming. Because why? Once they hit that switch and it comes back on, guess what? You're already in the new world, but it's going to be official when they get all this
Come
stuff
on.
Going. And there was something else that I want to share with y'all. It was
ahead,
something
brother.
Called the Nasara, she was telling me. So it's like the Nasara, but with a D. I couldn't find it. But do your research on this stuff. The Nasara is spelled N-E-S-A-R-A. And the other one is called Quantum Financial Systems. And remember, if you're having financial troubles, the banks are giving you money back. So you know what? Get money for those fees. I don't care how much they tell you no. Ask to speak to a supervisor. Get that money back for them overdraft fees. Any type of fee on your bank accounts, these banks are giving money back. Because a lot of us are not aware of what's going on. Don't let them, any institution, I don't care if it's your credit card, your car note, they're giving money back. There's a lot of stuff they're not sharing with everyone, but certain people know this stuff. They're just not sharing the information. And as my son was saying, he said, Mom and Dad, something is going on. They're just not telling a lot of us on certain levels. But the people who make a lot of money, and like the brother said the other week, and like we've been saying for all this year, they're buying bunkers. And I've been telling you for over a year, they're buying these storages like in masses. And I told the price for these storages are going up here in Texas. And it's funny how a lot of people are flocking to Texas.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out why all these folks are flocking to Texas. Maybe because we got so much room down here. But it's coming. It's happening. And again, you know, the king is coming. Get ready.
Yeah,
get prepared. I wish we had a little bit more time to go a little bit deeper with this. But as much information as I can get. But remember those fees at the bank. Overdraft fees, interest, people are getting, don't let them tell you, no, you fight for it, get that money back, because so many people are hurting, especially due to this pandemic. These banks, financial institutions are getting billions of dollars, and I know that for a fact, because I worked in the mortgage companies back in 2008 when the mortgage crash is happening, and they high-ranking people in the banks were telling us information that they were not supposed to be telling us, and somebody came down from the top and got mad and told them, don't share that. And I heard them say, don't share that information with them, because we were not supposed to know that the banks were getting billions of dollars of bailout money. And they had been, and they made them hush because they were telling everyone that they were getting $4 or $5 billion from the government to bail them out. And then the next bailout was a hush. It was a secret. No one's supposed to know about the other bailout, and that's what they told them. Don't tell the people that they're getting that bailout money. So it's the same thing now. These banks are getting bailout money for any time there's a crisis. The governments, the world powers is really who behind it. Because, you know, we talked about the Rothschilds and those 13 families that run the world. They're in control of all the money. They control, I forgot, if you read this here, there was something I was reading the other day. It said that these people own, let me see if it's in this article. Maybe it's here in this article. They own so much percentage of the stocks in the world, and the money capital. They like 90%, something like that. Some ridiculous money amount of money that they own compared to the rest of the world. I said that is insane that these folks control trillions of dollars. That's why they're able to do these certain things. Put money into the company, pull money. So when these things happen, they make these countries in debt to them. This is all planned. So when they're in debt, they really own and control the world. This is how they control the world, through the money system.
Yeah.
And they serve and worship who? Satan, who used to be Lucifer. Satan, the fallen angel. Brother, I didn't mean to take up so much time. I'm going to turn it back over and get out your way tonight. Amen. But, amen, just want to let the Spirit lead and just give people as much information. Share this information. Share this knowledge because get ready. Don't waste this money on shoes and bags, people buying purses and clothes. Man, look, please, get out of here. They're giving it to you for a reason. And I've been saying that for a long time. I'm at the bank, and I'm like, why are people spending money on shoes? And I got my stimulus money. I went and bought me some shoes. I'm like, why would you go do that? And you got shoes on your feet more likely. The people don't understand that. They don't think America's wealthy. If you can work a regular job, you are rich. Let me share something with this guy from a third world country.
Go ahead.
He came up and told me one time. He saw me because of the way I was dressed. He said, you're rich. You're rich. He said, I see you got the rings that you're. I said, I'm not rich. What are you talking about? And after he had walked away, we kind of talked. I said, thank you and everything. And I think it sunk into me what he was saying. I was like, oh, what he was saying was compared to where he came from, the rest of the world, yes, first world countries, we are rich. Look how much we waste. Look at how we eat. Every day we eat. There are people in third world countries that don't get to eat every day. This guy showed me how most of his family, they all like 20 people live in one house. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. He said only a few of them are able to go out and work while the rest of them depend on them to bring in money. We are rich in this country. I don't care if you make $10,000 to $15,000 a year. Our money is rich compared to the other nations. And when the thing happens, I'm talking about when the tribulation kicks off, people are not going to know how to act because it's going to be food scarcity. You're used to eating every day. And let me just share this, brother, and I guarantee I'm going to turn it back over to you. The economic collapse, the rider on the black horse that's carrying the scale is about to hit the planet, okay? The rider holds a pair of balances in his hands, balances signifies the priciness and scarcity of food, which is about to hit. This is going to be a worldwide famine. So you think about the countries now that are starving. Oh, my gosh. The countries now that have kids eating out of trash, they are going to have no food. That's when you're going to see the cannibalism. You're going to see the murdering is going to escalate. The rape is going to escalate. People, the world will be so horrid when this thing hits. So then the voice comes out of heaven that's going to say, a measure of wheat for a penny. This is in Revelation. And three measures of barley for a penny.
Yes, sir.
So what that means is during the biblical times, a penny represented what a man could earn in one day. A measure of wheat could be what a person could consume in a day. Hear me what I'm saying? So a person would only earn enough to feed himself. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. When you go to work now, your paycheck is enough to pay a car note. Some people are able to pay their rent. Some people take two checks, but you're able to make it to the next paycheck in most cases. Some people are able to have $100 to the next paycheck. Some people have no money to the next paycheck. I work at the bank. They allow overdrafts until your money go back into your account. What I'm saying to you is that when this tribulation hits, when you go to work, your check is just going to be enough. You may not think this is even possible, just enough to feed you a day. You're going to be hardly even have a place to stay. This is what people are talking about. People are walking up there. Yes, sir, Dr. Lord, have mercy. I read an article about how people are walking off their job. This lady said they had just paid off their house. People are here buying houses. They don't even know. They don't even see what's coming. You're buying a house, and I'm not knocking it, but know where we're at in this unstable time.
Yes.
Rent has skyrocketed high. I know in Dallas, man, you can if you move, it's $2,000 to $3,000 now. It used to be you can find a place to live for $1,300, $1,500, decent $1,600. I rent be $1,600 a month. Now the stuff is double. If you want a new apartment or house, it's $2,000 to $3,000 a month.
Double.
Man, listen, prepare, get yourself saved. So when it really come down, you won't even be here. You won't have to worry about that. So if you have kids, this is why Christ said, warn to them that give sup in them. That mean that if you're pregnant and you're not saved going into the tribulation, you have a baby, Lord have mercy. You're not going to be able to beat that time. God, Lord, Doctor, I'm going to turn it over to you. Bless you. I'm going to be back with you this Saturday and this upcoming Sunday. We're going to talk about this some more. I can't wait to get into this. But, family, we love y'all. Remember, you're royalty. I am royalty. Doctor, you are royalty. The king is coming. Get ready.
Yeah.
Love you all.
All right. All right. Thank you, Brother Tim.
Good
Thank
night.
You, Brother Tim.
You were. Hey, no, thank you, Doctor. All
right.
Will be
all right. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. What Brother Tim is trying to tell you and all the information that he's giving you, he's trying to tell you, you need to know Jesus Christ. That's what you need to know. You need to know who Jesus Christ is, because it's surely coming a time where it will be so difficult, you're not even going to believe what the people will have to face in this tribulation period. And this tribulation period will last exactly 7 years of judgment will come up on this earth, and men will be judged by God's word, by God's love. They will be judged after the catching away of the born-again believers. You hear what I said? Born-again believers. Those that have met the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and made their stand, to stand when you can't stand no more, because we are definitely in the close of the church age. The church age is almost over, almost done. It is at a place right now. We'll never get back where we was back in the 40s or the 50s. We'll never get back. We'll never get back, because when I was a small boy, I used to hear the gospel preach until it makes your knees shake together. Preachers would preach the salvation through Jesus Christ. They would preach that if you didn't receive Christ in your personal life and change life, you will go to hell, period. They would teach that your good works and your good looks and your good status quo is not going to get you to heaven. The only thing that can save you and redeem you and justify you and sanctify you, the only thing, ain't nothing else, absolutely nothing else can save you but the blood of Jesus Christ. Because what Christ done, he was God in man. He was, I said, God in man. He took man's place and yet still God, to die for the sins of the world. Every sin that you can name, Christ died. 7.1 billion people on this planet, and the Lord can save them with a twinkling of an eye if they want to be saved. A twinkling of an eye, everybody could be saved. But everybody don't want to be saved. Everybody wants to do their own thing and tell God to take a flying leap. Take your salvation, your shed blood, your suffering, your miracles, your death, and your resurrection. You can take that somewhere else, because right now I'm not interested in it one bit. In fact, I don't need salvation. I'm doing very well right now. That's what people are saying. I'm doing real good. I'm overwhelmed because I'm doing so well. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, those that's out there, it ain't going to last long. It's almost over. This generation is almost over. It is almost over, because we are definitely in the close of the church age. 7 churches in Asia Minor have been fulfilled. Church of Ephesus, the backsliding church. The Church of Smyrna, the suffering church. The Church of Pergamos, the compromised church. The Church of Thyatira, the church married the world. The Church of Sardis, the protest. It was a protest against the Roman Catholic Church when Martin Luther nailed 95 theses on Wittenberg's door and told them, nah, y'all ain't ready. You don't have to go through all them seances. You don't have to go into the Pope. You don't have to do nothing but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died. He died for your sins. And he was raised from the dead by his own power. And now he's able to save you to the utmost, the uttermost. And the world today is saying, I really don't care for that kind of salvation. And there's only one. I care for my own way, my own thinking, my own reading, my own attitude, the way I figure that God is going to accept me other than Jesus Christ. Because if you don't know Jesus Christ, you never, 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 never be able to even come in the presence of God. You'll never be to heaven. You'll never get to heaven without Christ in your life. You hear what I said? Change life, a redeemed life, a blood-bought life, a life that you recognize that the blood of Jesus Christ shed it on Calvary's cross. They beat him. They ridiculed him. They crucified him. They stuck spears to his side. They nailed him, oh my Lord. They nailed him, his hands and his feet. They spat upon him. They kicked him. They called him names. And he didn't say a mumbling word. Why? Because he said, I got power enough to lay it down, and I got power enough to pick it up again. Jesus knew that he had to take that route, because that was the only route that man can be redeemed. You can try all of the religions in the world today. You can try all the occult religions today. You can try atheism. Atheism said there is no God. And the Bible said the fool says in his heart, there is no God. You're a lost soul. You got the New Age movement, a new way to live, a new way to think, a new way of everything according to the world's ideology. Whoa, the new world, the New Age. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Go where you want to go. I ain't worried about no God. I ain't worried about the Christ that they said that died on Calvary's cross. I ain't worried about that stuff, man. That's a waste of time. But you know something? You keep on living. Keep on living. If you don't die before Jesus Christ come, and if you die without Jesus Christ, you'll be in that second resurrection standing before the great white throne looking for a place in heaven. But Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. We got all kinds of religion, the Buddhism. We got Judaism, which is one of the Old Testament religion that God used in the Old Testament to show the world that there was going to be an ultimate sacrifice, and not by animals, not by turtle doves, not by bullocks, not by goats. It's going to be done by a God man. Hallelujah. Praise God. God became man. Can't you understand that? God became man. And when he became man, he walked like man. He talked like man. He looked like man. He had the manly figure. There was nothing that you could take away from Jesus Christ, because he was God Almighty, and God is a righteous God. God is a perfect God. God is an all-knowing God. God is the everlasting God. He's the Lord and Father of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at his name, listen, at his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. We got the Unitarianism. We got Satanism. We got Taoism. We got the Lutherans. We got Christian Scientists. We got Jehovah's Witness. We got the Nazarene. We got the Islam. We got the Methodists. We got the Fashionism. We got the Catholicism. We got non-denom. We got the Church of God. We got the Baptist Church. We got the KKK church. We got the Nazism. We got Armstrongism. We got voodoo. We got witchcraft. We got lesbian and homosexual intendency church. We got the apostolic church. We got the Church of God in Christ. We got Confucianism, and we got humanism. Now, some of these are denominational. And denominations the churches that broke away from the Roman Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church said you go to heaven by your works. No, 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 no. Ain't no working salvation in you. You can't work your way to heaven. You cannot cry your way to heaven. You cannot go to church and think you're going to heaven. It's going to church is beautiful. Oh, it's wonderful to have fellowship with your fellow brothers, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all sin. That's what I'm talking about. We have to recognize the church name does not give you power to be redeemed. Ha, ha, ha. The church name does not give you power to be redeemed. You cannot be redeemed by a church denomination. You cannot be redeemed by a cult. You cannot redeem yourself. You can't get nobody else to redeem you. There's only one man out of eternity. God himself manifested himself in the flesh and became a man and took the penalty and the sin and the wrath of God up on his own body. He paid. What you say, preacher? I said Jesus Christ paid. What did he pay? He paid for your sins. He actually paid for your sins. He couldn't do it with silver, gold, brass, copper, money. He couldn't buy that. Nope, couldn't buy it. It took his blood. The holiness of God. The holiness of God is shown through the blood of Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You cannot be saved but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, y'all. Come on, church. Wake up. You cannot work your way. You can't pray your way. You can't shout your way. Your life has to be changed. Changed from death to life. Satan holds death and Christ holds life. If you want life, accept Christ. If you want death, accept the devil. Because the devil is the father of all lies. And if you're not saved, you see what I said? If you're not saved, then you're a child of the devil because you have not received the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost seals you until the day of redemption. You cannot, amen, come into the house of God and say you saved and do anything you want to. You can't do it. And when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive Jesus Christ forever. Nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can snatch it out of you. Nobody can scare it out of you. Why? Because he said, I'll seal you with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. If you have not, you hear what I said? If you have not the Spirit of the living God, he said, you are none of mine. You must have the Spirit of the living God living in you through Jesus Christ. The world is saying there's many ways to heaven, but the world don't understand. The world is under the influence of Lucifer, that fallen cherubim, that anointed one. That one that is doomed forever. That one that's trying to damn the whole human race. Majority of the world is lost. You hear what I said? Majority of the world is lost. And during the tribulation period, the world's going to be handed over to Satan. For 7 years, Satan is going to raise havoc over the nations of the world. And yet and still, God said, I still have some. After the rapture of the church, I still have some that's going to be saved during the tribulation period. And the only way that they can be saved is they have to hear the gospel. They got to hear the gospel. And then the Bible says, those that hear the gospel, and they're going to hear the gospel from the Jewish nation. The Jews are going to preach the last 7 years, the gospel of the kingdom. And it's going to take 144,000 anointed Jews, men that will preach for exactly 3.5 years. 3.5 years. They're going to preach the gospel to the world. And they're going to say that Jesus Christ is their Messiah and that he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. And that's what they are going to preach. And guess what Jesus is going to do? He's going to set up the millennial kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. After the 144,000 preached the gospel for 3.5 years, the church is gone for the last 3.5 years. After they get through preaching, John, I'm talking about John now, John looked over the mountain, looked over the valley, and he seen a number that no man could number, as many as the sands of the sea. And one of the elders asked these, saying, who are they and whence did they come? And the elder said, you don't know what these are and who they are? He said, no. He said, these are they that came through great trials and tribulations. These are the tribulation saints that got saved, listen to me, that got saved after the rapture. Because after the rapture occurred, the Jews is going to preach. And they ain't going to be playing. They're going to preach judgment. They're going to preach love. They're going to preach forgiveness. They're going to preach that Christ is coming back. They're going to preach that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They're going to preach that he died on Calvary's cross and came back from the grave, and he's still saved. They're going to preach it. They're going to preach it. It ain't going to be no programs. There ain't going to be no somebody sending me some money so I can get on a jet plane and fly around the world and come back and say, well, I've been around the world. Ain't none of that. Nobody. This is going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ain't no financial blessing. It'll be a blessing. It's going to be a salvation blessing. I'd rather have salvation than all the materialistic things you can hand me. Why? Because salvation is sure. Salvation is forever. Salvation is real. Salvation is authentic. Salvation is through Jesus Christ, the one that gave his life to us that he could live in us. And what the world is doing? The world is playing around. The world is saying, all that y'all talking, y'all been talking about this for 2,000 years, he's coming. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have fell asleep, the things that were doing in those days are continuing on the go. But don't you realize that 1 year, 1,000 years is 1 day, and 1 day is 1,000 years? Don't you know time span is different from a God span? Amen. The world today thinks we got a lot of time left, but we don't have no time left. It really done ran out. Because you see how corrupt our TV shows are. They are corrupt. Our cartoons are corrupt. Our talk shows are corrupt. They are talking about foolishness. They're talking about tragedy of their own sin. It's corrupt. And nobody is going to be able to straighten it out but Christ. Nobody's going to be able to straighten your life out but Christ. Christ is the only one that can straighten your life out and let you live a new life. He's the only one that got the gateway to heaven. His blood. The only blood that he shed on Calvary's cross for you and I, that we could have an everlasting life. The 3.5 years is going to be 1,260 days, 42 months, and times and dividing times. It's going to be exactly what God said it's going to be. And people are going to hear it on radio, TV, internet, Instagram, woo, all kinds of high technology of state-of-the-art programming. Men will hear. Listen, men will hear. 144,000 Jews preach for 3.5 years the gospel of the kingdom for 3.5 years. Straight through every day. 365 times or 360 times days a year, they're going to go on for 3.5 years until the world is going to witness the greatest revival that the world will ever be known or acquainted to. It's going to be a revival of redemption. Redemption by what? By the blood of Jesus Christ. They're going to sing the redemptive song around the throne about the blood of Jesus Christ. They're going to shout about it. They're going to talk about it. And the world is going to be a witness for the finest revival that ever hit this planet. That's the first 3.5 years. After the 144,000 get through with their ministry, and after they get through with preaching that word, the Lord is going to catch them up in the middle of the tribulation and take them on Zion Hill. And when they get through preaching here, they're going to be in heaven singing a new song that the angels can't even sing. I don't know the name of the song, but I do have one. I believe that ain't a song that the angels can't sing, and that song says, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because angels cannot be redeemed. They are already ministering spirits. The fallen angels can never be saved or brought back in the right relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because they are doomed forever. The 3.5 years is over. The Lord said, all right, in the middle of the 3.5 years, it's going to be the greatest miracle that ever hit this planet. 25,000 miles in circumference, carrying about 7.1 billion, got its own water, got its own trees, got everything. But judgment is coming, and God's going to bring judgment upon the world, upon the people who rejected him as Lord and Savior. In the middle of the tribulation period, Satan is going to do his last utopia great miracle. He is going to make sure that the Antichrist will be assassinated, killed with a gunshot, probably to the head, because the Bible says the deadly wound was healed. They're going to shoot the Antichrist, and he's alive today. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He is not in the back seat. He's not on the side seat. He's coming on the front line in just a few more years. Just a few more years. Might be a few more months. Might be a few more hours. I don't know. But this man is going to do a miracle that will deceive the whole world. What is that miracle, preacher? That miracle is the Antichrist will have a false peace and a false hope practically through the first 3.5 years. But the second 3.5 years, he's going to be assassinated with a deadly bullet to the head. They're going to kill him because Satan wants to do a duplicate just like Jesus died. And Jesus died for a cause. Satan has died to deceive the world and make the world think that he is God Almighty. That's what the devil wants what? He wants worship. That's what he wants, worship. The world today is worshiping the devil. Yeah. You can't not worship God and the devil at the same time. So the world is worshiping the devil, and the devil is setting the world up for this what? New world order, setting up for a reset, setting the world to get them deceived and believing that he is God Almighty by the assassination of the Antichrist. And when the Antichrist is assassinated, there is going to be a war in heaven, and this war will be between Michael and his angels and against Lucifer or the dragon, Beelzebub, and his angel. They are going to fight for position in first and second heaven, because Lucifer got first and second heaven now. He used to be in third heaven, but he was cast out. So now he's in first and second heaven. And now he's getting ready to be cast to the earth, because there's going to be a war in heaven, and Michael is going to defeat Lucifer, and Lucifer is going to fall. Do you hear what I say? He's going to fall to this earth. And all his UFOs on all these sightings that men have seen, these flying objects and these flying machines, these angels will be here on earth with all of their diabolical plot. And the diabolical plot is that when the Antichrist is shot and lays in the morgue for 3 days to typify the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and on the third day, Lucifer will fall from heaven, from first and second heaven, and when he falls and all his demons fall, Lucifer said, now, I'm going to do something that I've never done before. I'm going to incarnate myself in the body of the Antichrist, and I'm going to raise him from the dead. Yes, sir. This is going to happen. This is going to happen as sure as the word of God is the word of God. He is going to reincarnate himself inside the Antichrist and raise him from the dead. And when the world sees this miracle, they are going to say, who is like the beast? And who is able to make war with him? And who is able to stand with him and stand against him? And who is able to fight against this demon, devil, false Christ, the dragon? Who is able to fight against him? Nobody will be able to fight against him but one man. One man can defeat the devil. One man. Jesus Christ is the man that's going to defeat the devil forever. He is going to actually cast him into the lake of fire at the end of the millennium reign. He is going to do a job on the devil, and the devil can't do nothing about it but holler and squall and be defeated forevermore. And he thinks he's winning, but he's not winning. He's losing. He lost ever since he fell from heaven. Because God never lost a battle. Every battle that God fought, he won it. And he didn't have to have a whole lot of people to win a battle. He can use a few people to fight a big battle instead of using a whole lot of people to fight a big battle. God is all God by himself. And when the 144,000 get through with their ministry, they're going to be caught up into the heavens. And in the middle of the tribulation, after 144,000 are done with their ministry, God's going to send two prophets, Old Testament prophets, a prophet that has power enough to turn water to blood, only man in the Bible that turned water to blood and brought plagues upon the earth was Moses. So Moses will be in Jerusalem in the second part of the tribulation period. Another prophet is going to come that has power to cause it not to rain for 3.5 years. And that prophet was Elijah. So Elijah and Moses will be in the last part of the tribulation period to preach the gospel for how long? 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months. They're going to stand in the streets of Jerusalem and turn Jerusalem upside down. Nobody will be able to touch them. If anybody touched them, fire will come out their mouth and consume them. They will preach so dynamic that people will get angry at these two prophets and wish they were dead. The whole world wants to get rid of them because they're reproving them of their sin. They're telling them they're sinners, they're liars, they're whoremongers, they're prostitutes. He's telling them to turn, and they don't like it. Whenever you turn a sinner, tell a sinner to turn from his evil ways, people have a tendency to get mad at God. But the Bible said, except you repent. You hear what I said? Except you repent means turn. Turn from what? Turn from evil. Hate evil. Hate lying. Hate backbiting. Hate adultery. Hate fornication. Hate it. You turn from it. And you ask Christ to come into your life and save your soul. Save my soul, Lord Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to burn forever. I don't want to suffer for my own sin. I don't want to have to just burn and 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 what you say? Burn on. I don't want to have to go through that. And the only thing you have to do, you got to admit that you are a sinner. I'm not talking about what you do and don't do, what you say and don't say. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about you got to repent whatever you do. If you don't do nothing, you still got to repent. Because you're born in sin and you're shaped in iniquity. Did your mother conceive you? And there's no way out. There's nobody else that suffered for you like Jesus Christ. So you just want to come on and confess your sins to him and believe on him and trust in him and rely on him and depend upon him and hope in him. Why? Because that's the only hope you got. Ain't no other denomination or no other occult religion can do that. They can't do nothing but bring you down to the lower bowels of hell and watch you burn forever. Because where there's not the blood of Jesus Christ, you are condemned. The only thing that can save you from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, and the devil can't condemn the blood of Jesus Christ because it's the most powerful thing on the face of this earth. It's powerful. It can save prisoners. It can save prostitutes. It can save liars. It can save homosexuals. It can save lesbianism. It can save incest. It can save whoever wants to be saved. You gotta wanna be saved. You gotta be like Jesus. And the only way you can do that, you got to have his Holy Spirit in you. And you can be like Jesus. You can love like Jesus. Woo! You can pray like Jesus. Why? Because that spirit is in you. And that spirit is powerful. And the world today is rejecting it. And when they reject the word of God, the world goes into destruction. Because without Christ, hallelujah, without Christ in your life, you are headed for destruction. 110% guarantee. You got to know Jesus Christ when you leave here. And the only way you can know him, you got to admit that you're a sinner. You got to admit that you want to repent. You got to admit that I want Jesus more than anything in the whole round world. I don't want nothing else but Jesus Christ. Because he will last forever. Anything else other than Jesus Christ is not forever. Fame and glory, prestige, money, cars is not forever. All the materialistic things that you can gander up is not forever. Everything that you can see, touch, and hold is not forever. It's going to leave one day. And many people are leaving with it. They think that God is some kind of playboy and that God is not going to keep his word. Oh, yes, he will. God going to keep his word. He ain't going to drop one iota. John 3:16 gives you the picture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ain't no breaking it. Ain't no giving it up. Ain't nobody steal it. It's everlasting. And the world is saying, that sounds pretty good, but nah, I'm going to stay with what I got. I'm going to stay with old Beelzebub. I'm going to stay with old Lucifer. Old Lucifer got it going on. Old Lucifer got all the goodies. Lucifer got the money, got the fame, got the women, got the drink. Oh, yeah, I'm a party with Lucifer. I'm going to worship him. And that's what the world is doing. Worshiping Lucifer. Worshiping idolatry. Worshiping themselves. And when you say worship, that's what the devil wants you to do. He don't want you to worship God. Don't worship God. And my sin, how come you don't want to worship God? He knows everything. He got power. Satan ain't got no power. He ain't got no power. The only power he got is to kill, rob, steal, slander people, do dirty work. He can't do nothing clean. Oh, he can look clean, but on the inside, dead men bones. Dead men bones. Stinking. People who look good on the outside, that don't mean they right on the inside. And people don't look good on the outside, don't mean they're wrong on the inside. Because God ain't got no respect for persons. He ain't got no pets. He ain't got no animal zoo. He ain't got no circus. He's got a church that he's going to present to himself without a spot, without a wrinkle, without anything defiled. It's going to be perfect. Perfect righteousness. Perfect justice. Perfect love. Perfect forgiveness. Perfect long-suffering. All that going to be perfect in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there will not be any more killing and murdering and raping and child pornography and none of that nowhere in the glories of God. It will be burning in hell forever and ever. And the world is rejoicing and going down into the pit. The world is. People are rejoicing, going to the pit. And it seems like they're enjoying it so much. But one day, after the glorious church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is caught up, there is going to be hell. Oh, yes, indeed. Hell on earth. Ain't no more church services. Ain't no more banqueting. Ain't no more bingo. The churches will be used as a slaughterhouse to get rid of all the Christians that stand for Christ during the tribulation period. Churches will have guillotines beheading people and putting them in plastic coffins and burying them in the grave. They will be killing people by the millions and slaughtering them. America will fall under the iron fist of the dictator of the world, and it will cause as many as would to worship the beast, the devil. That's what the devil wants. Sin for him. Do all the sin. The devil say, do all the sinning you can. I'm gonna make it pleasurable for you. And the world today is sinning, 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 and don't even care nothing about who they're sinning against. They're sinning against an awful, almighty, loving God. They pay the price on Calvary's mountain, gave his life, that through his death and resurrection, little old pitiful George E. Bizard have a right to the tree of life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'll live with Christ one day forever and ever and ever and ever and never get tired. Never get tired, because in heaven there ain't going to be a dull moment throughout eternity. Not a dull moment. God is going to have all kinds of jobs and teaching and preaching. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You ain't going to be flying around with no wing on a cloud with a bow and arrow. No. God said, I'm going to build, what you said? God said, I'm going to build me a kingdom. And he's doing it too, buddy. He's building the kingdom that will never end. It will last forever. And those that receive Christ will be with Christ forever. And those that reject will have to pay the most awfulest torture. Lord, have mercy. Awfulest torture that ever human man can even dream about. Of lake of brimstone and fire burning for eternity. Never drop 1 degree. There will be gnashing and gashing and crying out. There will be rebellion in hell where people will actually be cussing and saying every little foul spirit that they can think of. Why? Because they are burning for their sins. And if I was you, if I was you, I would not delay another moment. I would ask the Lord Jesus Christ this night to come into my life. And Lord, I repent of my sins because I'm a piece of junk without you. Without Christ, you're a piece of junk. And God want to take that piece of junk and make you a new creature. And you don't want to become a new creature because you like junk. But the best junk man I know is Jesus Christ because he picked me up when I was a piece of junk. Turn me around and put my feet on solid ground. I'm willing to press on to the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Laying aside every weight and every sin that's so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of my faith. Now, him that's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his throne, the all-wise God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King, is coming again in power and in great glory. For the God of this world, the devil, has blinded the men that are lost from the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the world is going blindly right into the bowels of the earth. And Jesus Christ is telling them, come to me and I will give you rest. I will renew in you a right spirit that you will not sin against me. But we're living in a devastating time. The coronavirus, it seems like it's taking its toll as far as 700,000 to 8,000 people died. Some people wish it would go away. It may go to a percentage to go away, but it's still here. It's a setup. They planned it. They got the vaccination to shoot into people. And down through the years, don't you think it's going to have effect on a lot of people in 3 or 4 years because they ain't right. I ain't right. We just ain't right with Bill Gates. He's trying to do to our civilization. He's trying to eliminate all the poor people and all the underprivileged people and build his own little world out there in the West because he owns a lot of land out there. That's what he plans to do. But he's a lying wonder. That's nothing but the spirit of the Antichrist. And there are many Antichrists. But there's only one Antichrist. And that's the one that's getting ready to set the table for the final showdown of the real deal. Who is real? Jesus is real. He's going to prove it of Armageddon. He's going to prove it that he's the Son of God. He's going to prove it that he's a crucified one. He's going to prove it over and over again. And the devil saying, I think he'll probably say, I'm the biggest fool that ever lived, ever was created, for letting my pride and my beauty destroy me and my demonic spirits, my fallen co-eds. He is done. Ain't nobody can help him at all. I don't care. God can't help him. Because God said, I'm tired of him. I'm tired of Lucifer. I'm tired of the people who are letting Lucifer use them to get Lucifer's glory and not my glory. Because he said, I'm a jealous God. Don't have no other God before me. Nobody. Absolutely nobody is before the God of the universe. For he's the only one that can do all things. And the world is saying, we don't need him. But let me tell you, as I get ready to close, the tribulation period is one of the most unique times in human history. It will be so devastating that your own kinfolks, your own cousins, your aunts will betray you and lie on you and get you killed during the tribulation period. Because the tribulation period is for the judgment Gentile nations and the judgment on the Jewish nation. But the Jews are going to be the executioners when they preach the gospel of the kingdom to let the world know, here we are. We are back on the road again. Here we are. We know who our Messiah is. Here we are. We know we are guilty for crucifying the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he forgave us, and he saved us, and he's keeping us to be a witness for you in the last days. My friends, you need Jesus Christ. I can't say nothing else. You need Jesus Christ. You need Christ in your life. If you don't have him, you can get him right now. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead by his own power, thou shalt be saved. Confession is made into salvation. And when you confess that salvation to Christ and tell him to come on in and sup with me and I with him, he'll save your soul forever. He'll save your soul throughout eternity. But people saying, I don't want to wait for eternity. I want my joy right now. Sad to say, you're making a big mistake when you turn away from the salvation through Jesus Christ. You're making a bad mistake. When you put off your time to reject the salvation that Jesus Christ brought down to this earth 2,000 years ago, it's going to be devastating for those that reject him. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from what would you say? I said this is End Time Global Link Ministry, preaching the end time and eschatology and salvation through Jesus Christ. But through that is our only hope. To be saved from this outward generation. My friends, God love you. God bless you. That you will be more on the increase and get an understanding. The King is coming. To what? To judge the world. Time is up. The day is far spent. The sun is going down. And we must, some way or the other, stand before the great God of Zion and give an account of our behavior while we was down here. Don't be caught in the second resurrection. Second resurrection had no power. Be caught in the first resurrection, where we would meet the Lord.